from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Now, start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCain on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Let's turn right this week. Let's turn left again. Let's go to the Roval. What's going on? Chase McCabe here with you. ESPN 102.5, The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. Tap that app as well on iTunes. Rate, subscribe, and review. And we're on SoundCloud. Chasing Checkers rolling once again. Big show today. Alex Bowman, the driver of the 88, he's going to join. Also, Steve Letarte from NBC Sports, he is going to join the show. And yes, we will set up the Roval. A lot to get into. Let's take a look back at Richmond and what happened at that race. First time in the playoffs. Usually that was the cutoff race at the end of the regular season. But it is the second race in the playoffs. Kyle Busch, the winner. Kevin Harvick, second. Martin Truex Jr., third. What do those three have in common? Oh, that's right. We've called them the big three all year long. Truex was the driver that I think you kind of looked at. He could be the one to win it because he led 163 laps. He won the first two stages. Kyle Busch comes on in the third stage, 92 laps led throughout the night, and he gets the win. But a great run by Truex. Those three drivers moving on to the next round. And before we kind of get into race reaction, let's do what we have kind of been doing the last few weeks and look at the standings and kind of what needs to happen as we go into the Roval. So Kyle Busch is the points leader. He has a win. He's moving on. Brad Keselowski, second. He has a win. He's moving on. Truex is moving on with points. Kevin Harvick, 57 to the good. I think he's in good shape. Joey Logano is fifth, 25 to the good. Eric Almirola, great run for the first two races for him. He is sixth place in the points right now, 23 to the good. Kyle Larson is in seventh, 17 to the good. Kurt Busch in eighth, 15 to the good. Chase Elliott in ninth, 10 to the good. Austin Dillon in 10th, also 10. Alex Bowman, who you will hear from here in just a little bit, 5 to the good in 11th. And Ryan Blaney rounds out the top 12, 4 points to the good. Drivers that need work, need to do something this weekend at the Roval at Charlotte. Clint Bowyer is 4 points back in 13th. Jimmy Johnson is 6 back in 14th. Eric Jones, 21 back in 15th. And Denny Hamlin, 29 back in 16th. Going to be tough for Eric Jones and Denny Hamlin, I am afraid. So those are the point standings after Richmond. Now back to the race itself. I mentioned Martin Truex Jr. and how they pretty much were the dominant car but came up short, ended up finishing third because things just kind of fell off. Here is Martin Truex Jr. after the race, but he also spoke on moving to the next round.
Another pit stop maybe. You know, we used it up there at the end trying to get, you know, I think we restarted eighth on the outside, and to get back to third, we kind of were used up at the end, but man, what an awesome race car the guys brought me here, and Auto Owners Toyota was fast. It was really good all day. Just, man, I don't know what we got to do to win this race. We've probably led more than anyone here ever that's not won it. It's crazy, but wasn't meant to be tonight. Hell of an effort by the guys, and good recovery by the guys in pit road. And thanks to all you guys back in Denver working your butts off to bring these fast cars. And just keep digging. We're moving on. So that's really the name of the game, and hopefully we'll win it when we'll get the win when we really, really need it.
That's Martin Truex Jr. after the race, finishing third at Richmond, and a good run by him. And look, we have talked about this time and time again since Furniture Row announced that they were going to be shutting down. You know what you were going to get out of Truex and what you were going to get out of that group. I said from the very beginning that I thought that they were going to be competitive. They were going to go try and win it all, go out on top, win one for Barney, make it back to back. And so far, I mean, that's pretty much what you've seen. They're going to the next round on points. This weekend doesn't matter to Truex Jr. except for they're just going to go for a win and try and win the first ever Roval race. So they're in a very good position right now. They're not going to go away quietly. Neither is Kevin Harvick, and neither is Kyle Busch. Right now, these three are in prime position to be at Homestead. Keselowski, he has momentum. He finished ninth, had a solid run. But they are right now, I mean, the big three, they're not going away. Kyle Busch, the race winner, was asked in the post-race press conference about the big three being back.
Pretty good for Truex to get back to where he got to, considering he had that penalty late. So he did finish third, right? Yeah. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. You know, I knew Harvick was kind of closing in on us there at the end. You know, I ran really hard trying to pass Brad, racing with Brad, and being able to finally get by him. And you could see how hard we ran by how fast he dropped, you know. So, you know, our car was really, really good, good in the long run. I think Harvick maybe... the run before, we kind of drove away from everybody. So I just I think it was a factor of me running real hard, pushing real hard, that Harvick was able to close in on us there at the end. My stuff was really, really used up. You know, I lost tons of grip the last 10 laps of the race, so I was just trying to hang on.
Well, and he was, and Kevin Harvick was coming. It was one of those situations. It was a typical Richmond race when you have a dominant car that uses it all up, uses the brakes, and everything else falls off, and then you have another guy that... You know, he's using his stuff up. So, I mean, if they had gone 20 more laps, who knows what would have happened? I mean, they could have wrecked each other. Wouldn't have been surprising. But Kyle Busch gets the win. And, you know, I think he's got to be the scary one. He's a regular season champion. He's very determined. You know, he has won 7 races just like Kevin Harvick now. So, I mean, and those two have pulled away a little bit from Truex. Truex with the 4 wins. Keselowski with the 3 wins, but they're getting it done at the right time. Again, it all comes down to that last race, and Kyle Busch has won at Homestead to win a championship. Wouldn't be surprised if he did it again. Wouldn't be surprised if Martin Truex Jr. did it again. Wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Harvick. I mean, I can't really give you a favorite of those three right now because they are all right there together, and Kyle Busch kind of summarizes his race as a whole and ultimately what led to the win.
It's really good to have the win, you know, to be able to go into next week. I think anytime you can automatically punch your ticket to the next round, that just makes it even better. You know, being able to come here in Richmond in the fall, whoever said I didn't win here in the fall race, I got you. We won here now. So, you know, finally... again, I didn't know what was eluding us from being able to win here in the fall, but we were able to get it done tonight. So, you know, it was a handful out there, that's for sure. Car wasn't great early, but once we got some adjustments to it, it really woke up, and car kind of came to us continuation all night long of the sun going down and just getting better and better. So it was good.
Kyle Busch on his win at Richmond. And look, you know, he did what he had to do. Gets another win on the season. Let's hear from Kevin Harvick, though, who did finish second. Didn't have much to say after the race, but Kevin Harvick with another solid run.
We were definitely gaining a little bit of ground, but, you know, we didn't have enough time to get all the way to him. But, you know, our guys did a great job, you know, rebounding after last weekend and doing what we had to do this week to put ourselves in a good position for next week. So, solid night.
Kevin Harvick on finishing second. At Richmond, another good night for him, and I think that you're probably going to see him be a factor this weekend. He's a proven road racer. I mean, so is Kyle Busch. You can't treat this like a traditional road race, though, so that's what I'm curious about, if these guys that are good on the road courses, if that's going to translate to the Roval, or if you're going to see just kind of a mixed bag. I think that's the question that everybody is asking, but... We shall see. So that wraps up Richmond. Another thing that happened on Friday, Dale Earnhardt Jr. actually ran the Xfinity race. It's the only race he's running this year. He was the in-race analyst for NBC, led a ton of laps, had the best car, ends up fourth, but a great run by Dale Jr. And, of course, a lot of people watching, a lot of people paying attention to that because, you know, it's Jr. And they wanted to see him on the track again, and it was good to see him go out there and have a good time. But, of course... You know, whenever a driver that is retired comes out and runs a race, you have to ask the question, well, is that the last race or are you going to want to run another one? Junior was asked that in post-race.
Probably going to run one more next year. Talking to Hellman's, this is the truth. I mean, I try to share this information as often as I can on social media with fans, and I run these races to help sponsor the rest of those cars. You know, it's hard to put together full deals And when I run a race, it help, you know, this will sponsor that seven car about 8 to 10 races next year or this year. So it's worth it for me to get out there, have a little fun, run a race. It fills out the rest of that seven car. I won't do it if it's a one race deal just for me. You know, if somebody came along and said, you know, we want to sponsor you to run somewhere, I wouldn't be interested in that at all. I want to do deals that are packages that help our other teams fill out their deals so we can control our bottom line. That's all that is, you know. So, Hellman's wants to do another package where I'll run a race next year and we'll get some, you know, 8 to 10 races or whatever the package is for the seven car. And that's a tremendous amount of support for our company. And I can't turn down those opportunities to do that. And I do love to drive, and I just don't want to do it a ton. I want to be great in the booth. And I know that this helps a little bit, but it also takes away from my ability to, you know, it takes away from being able to see the weekend as a whole, understand exactly what's going on across the board. You learn a lot in the Xfinity races too, from the booth, that help you for the big race. And that's where I want to be. I want to be in the booth for a long, long time. So I don't want to be out here fooling around on the racetrack if it's going to hurt my opportunity to do that.
He also went on to discuss, you know, running some late model races and doing things like that with Elliott Sadler. Look, Dale Jr. is not done racing, but he has moved on to his second life. I mean, he is enjoying working for NBC. I'm going to talk to Steve Letarte here in a little bit about that and working with Dale Jr. And you know, how his first year has gone. And eventually these guys, they find that next passion. And Jr. was a passionate racer, and now he's a passionate broadcaster. But getting in the car every now and then is going to be good for him, good for the sport, good for NBC. And it was good to see him have another run, a big run at Richmond, a track he's always been good at. But a team owner right there and a team guy, because he's like, I'm doing this to get sponsors for the other cars. That's the only reason he's going to do it. He's going to use his name to help the other guys out. And I think that's really cool. You know, Justin Allgaier drives that seven car. He's coming back next year. No, he had been rumored to some cup rides, but he is going to stay in that seven car. So good on Dale Jr. Before we get to Alex Bowman, a couple of news and notes. Ryan Newman was announced the driver of the number 6 Roush Racing Ford. So he will take over the 6 from Trevor Bayne and Matt Kenseth next year. Matt Kenseth has said he is not interested in a full-time ride. He would run part-time races, and it would only be for Roush. So if Kenseth races at all next year, it's going to be on a part-time basis for Roush Fenway, but Newman will be the full-time driver of the number 6 car. AJ Allmendinger is out of the number 47 at the end of the season for JTG, Dougherty Racing, and Ryan Preece, who's been an Xfinity driver with Joe Gibbs, he is going to take over the 47 car full-time next year for JTG, Dougherty Racing. So silly season in full effect. No announcements on Truex, no announcements on Kurt Busch. One would expect those will be coming soon, but we just have to wait and see. When we come back, Alex Bowman, the driver of the number 88 Hendrick Motorsport Chevrolet, he is going to join the show. That is all next. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and on the Game Nashville app.
What's up, football fans? Buck Rising, Tennessee Titans insider, and the host of Tackling Music City here. Join us as we talk about all things Two-Tone Blue with current and former players, NFL experts, and analysts from all walks of life every Monday and Wednesday on thegamenashville.com, in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and live on Fridays 6 to 8 p.m. on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com, on that app, on iTunes, rate, subscribe, and review. Also on SoundCloud, just search for Chasing Checkers. Every week, Chase McCabe here with you. We talk NASCAR and the playoffs this weekend. We are at a cutoff race. Our first cutoff race of the season is this weekend at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, the Roval. It's the first time that they have run this thing. They have tested. They have run the data. They have changed the track. They've done everything they can do. Now they actually have to run a race at the Charlotte Roval. And I think it's going to be an interesting one. But let's get the perspective of a driver. We bring in Alex Bowman, the driver of the number 88 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet. He's been nice enough to talk to us this week on Chasing Checker. His second appearance on the show, and I think he is actually the first driver to make two appearances on Chasing Checkers this year. Alex, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know an exciting weekend coming up, maybe a little nerve-wracking because you guys are going to be doing something you've never done before, and that is racing the Roval at Charlotte. With all the testing and everything that you guys have gone through, do you feel like that you're as ready as you're going to be for this event?
Yeah, it's hard to be ready for something like the Roval, but you know, we had a decent test there. We had some struggles and some mechanical failures that we had to work through, but we had decent speed when things were right, and our road course program at Hendrick Motorsports has been pretty strong, probably stronger than me as a road course driver. So hopefully I can do a good job this weekend and stay out of the carnage, because I think there's going to be a lot of that, but it should be a good solid day for us.
NASCAR seemed to make an effort to revamp the playoff schedule a little bit. You've seen them switch some of the cutoff races. They put Richmond into the playoffs for the first time, and now adding this Roval. Does that add some excitement alongside with a little bit of extra nerves as a guy like you? I know you're 5 points to the good right now from that cutoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it adds some excitement for the fans. Probably adds some stress to the teams and the drivers, but if it adds some excitement to the fans, I mean, they're what we're here for. We couldn't do it without them. So hopefully it puts on a good show and the fans like what they see. I think the sport continuing to evolve and change and have different schedules and move things around is great. And I hope that continues, because doing the same thing forever doesn't necessarily end up the best. So I think the changes and the changes that NASCAR has done and is always kind of innovating and doing to try to make the racing better and the schedule better and everything better for the fans, I think it's great.
We're talking to Alex Bowman here on Chasing Checkers. He'll, of course, be at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, the Roval, this weekend. And Alex, you know, I talked to you, I guess, mid-season, and things were starting to come into form for you and your first year full-time with Hendrick Motorsports in that 88 car. You make the playoffs. How big of an accomplishment was it to make the playoffs on points?
Yeah, I mean, it was a big accomplishment for sure. You know, still frustrated with how the year's been, but we've had a lot of speed lately, a lot more than what we started the year with. And the last 2 weeks have been frustrating, just kind of got off on execution at the end of the races. But, you know, we've had so much more speed and been gaining on it. So if we can continue to improve and execute like we should, you know, we're definitely getting closer. It's just it's been a tough year. We definitely started off of where we needed to be, but we're gaining on it.
Do you feel like, though, with Hendrick Motorsports as a whole kind of maybe coming back into form, and the Chevy Camaro, you guys are figuring that out, does that set you up nicely for next season? I know you still got a long way to go this year, but kind of looking ahead a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it definitely sets us up for next season, but we want to win right now. So kind of thinking about the more upcoming stuff right now, but I think looking at next season, you know, to end the season strong would be really good for us.
Now, you've won at Charlotte before in the Xfinity Series, obviously a different configuration. What did you enjoy most besides, of course, taking the checkered flag, but your first NASCAR win was at Charlotte? How special is it to go back around the same time, to race at the Roval this weekend?
Yeah, Charlotte, the oval is one of my favorite ovals. It has a lot more character than you would think, probably watching it, you know, driving it. It's an interesting track. Turns 3 and 4 are super technical, and you can move around and make your car work a bunch of different ways. So I think it's I'm kind of bummed we're not still in the oval, but that was a fun night. Hopefully we'll have more of that come Sunday.
Alex Bowman, driver of the number 88. And I can't remember if when we talked, if you had gotten the contract extension or not when we talked last, but with all the silly season and all the drivers moving around, just how much did it mean to you to get that commitment from Rick Hendrick to say, you know what, you're going to be in this car for several more years and be able to grow in what you're already building?
Yeah, it's obviously a big deal for me, and you know, but it's good. So to re-sign with a partner like Nationwide and know that I'm going to be at Hendrick Motorsports for the next couple of years at least, and hopefully much longer than that, is great for me, and really excited about it.
As we wrap this up, Alex, just one more thing on the Roval. What is the one, I guess, detail that drivers need to pay attention to as they go into this, or is it still just so unknown?
It's really just so unknown. I mean, the whole track is very treacherous and easy to really wreck by yourself. So with 39 other guys, it's going to be even easier. So hopefully we can stay out of trouble and stay out of the carnage, because it's going to be full of that.
Alex, best of luck this weekend, and I think that'd be a good spot to get your first Cup win, is on a track that nobody really knows about. I think that'd be pretty cool.
I'll take it. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Alex Bowman, the driver of the number 88 Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet, and a guy that's to the good right now going into the race weekend at Charlotte at the Roval, but, you know, he's going to have some work to do. And I think what's so cool about this weekend is it's so unknown that anybody could win it. I mean, you're going to be looking at Kyle Busch, who won last week. You're going to look at Harvick. You're going to look at Truex. You're going to look at the big three. You're going to look at Brad Keselowski, all those drivers that run up front, the road racing experts. But you don't really know who's going to be able to figure this thing out the best in order to get the win. And what a weekend it would be for Alex Bowman. I mean, they have been running much better since the first time we talked to him. I mean, they have found their speed. He's starting to come into his own. Rick Hendrick, as you heard Alex say, has faith in him to sign him to a contract extension. So I think that Alex Bowman and this 88 team, while many were skeptical of what it was going to be, I think it could turn out to be the right hire in the long run. We're going to see a new generation no matter what, and Rick Hendrick is ahead of the curve with Chase Elliott, William Byron, and Alex Bowman alongside the 7-time champion, Jimmy Johnson. When we come back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, we will talk to a guy that is very familiar with that 88 car. In fact, he was the crew chief for a long time for Dale Earnhardt Jr., Steve Letarte, now with NBC Sports. He is going to join the show next. I'll get his thoughts on the Roval. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and online at thegamenashville.com.
Anchor down and listen up with me, Max Herz, host of the all-new Anchor Down podcast, talking all things Vanderbilt Commodores with new episodes every Monday and Thursday on thegamenashville.com.
Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 Game. Chase McCabe here with you as always, and pleased to be joined by one of my favorite crew chiefs, Steve Letarte from NBC Sports. He will be on the call for the race from Charlotte Motor Speedway, the Roval. It's finally here. We've talked about it all season long, and Steve, we finally get to see these drivers try and conquer this thing. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I feel the same way as you. I think this might be the most talked about playoff race ever. Just there's so much unknown, and I think unknown is good. You know, in today's world of sports, we have so many statistics and so many matchups that we can go back and look in the history of who's good, who's bad, and kind of do a little handicapping. I think when you come to this Charlotte road course, no one really has any idea who has the chance to succeed.
Now, would you have felt that way a few years ago when you were still a crew chief for Dale Jr. or Jeff Gordon, and you come to a track and you have no idea what to expect?
Well, I always try to be the guy that led by example. And listen, there's going to be a race. The conditions are whatever they are. Every competitor is on the same racetrack. The simple fact is points are going to be awarded. Someone's going to win. The playoff field will be set for the second round. And I think that's what you have to look at. You can't get tied up in the details and the negative or the positive. The simple fact is it's here. It's on the schedule. It's not going away. And at that point, as a crew chief, you have to just accept that and move forward. And I think certain teams have done that, and I think it's going to show up over the weekend.
So how did you prepare as a crew chief? Because you got to work closely with your driver, and if memory serves me correctly, I guess the newest track would have been Kentucky. So that was a place that the Cup Series had never been before until now. So how did you kind of look at things and prep as you were getting ready to crew chief the race?
Well, you know, the beauty of the Cup Series is we already run at such a variety of racetracks. Even the two road courses we currently see at Sonoma and Watkins Glen are so just vastly different. The road course schedule for the Xfinity teams brings them to multiple different venues that have very different speed corners. We see the slowest 50 or 60 mile an hour corners and as fast as 150 mile an hour corners. So you have information And I think that's how you do it. When you look at the Charlotte road course, it's really broken down in my mind into an infield section, which is relatively slower, second gear corners, pretty standard road course shaping. And then you have these very high-speed chicanes. The chicane on the backstretch, I expect it to be faster than the bus stop at Watkins Glen as far as how you change direction. So it's a compromise between the two. You kind of work with your driver. You let him know where he thinks he needs the most help with the car, and then you, that means he gets the other half of the track to try to figure it out as a driver.
He's Steve Letarte. He will be on NBC's call of the Bank of America Roval 400 from the Charlotte Motor Speedway this Sunday. You can catch that. Coverage begins at noon Central Time on NBC here in Nashville. And Steve, I guess they've had all these tests there, and you've heard a mixed reaction out of the drivers of what they like about it, what they don't like about it. But how valuable have these tests been for this race?
Well, I think they've been invaluable both for the drivers and the track. You know, the track has gone under some tweaks, changing the curbing, changing a few corners, kind of, you know, I think Marcus Smith, everyone at SMI and NASCAR has listened to the drivers to the point where, listen, you can't blink and make it go away, so tell us constructively what can be tweaked and adjusted. I think we've seen that over the last few months. They have made changes to the racetrack, and I think it's been a great collaborative effort to give the fans. We've got to be really, you know, specific here that no offense to the drivers, the teams, to me and broadcast, to Charlotte. You know, this is really all about the fans. It should be all about the fans. They've been asking for more road courses. Marcus Smith and everyone at SMI has now given them one. And, you know, will it be perfect? I'm sure not. Will there be issues? I'm sure there's things we're going to improve as we move forward. But I think some of those improvements have already been made because of that testing.
Well, and Steve, you know, you've been doing this for a few years now as a broadcaster. I've been a fan for a long time, and we know it's all about the product. It's all about the fans. It's all about television ratings and revenue and all that stuff. And I applaud NASCAR for kind of changing up the playoff schedule. They added this format a few years ago, which I think has been exciting. And, you know, it used to be Talladega was a cutoff race. It's not anymore. So they're going to add a road course, a place that they've, even though it's the Charlotte Motor Speedway, it's a track they haven't raced on. So I'm good with it. I applaud NASCAR for that.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, I'm a bit of a traditionalist. Dale Jr. is a traditionalist. We have these conversations. You can't dig your heels into the point where you don't listen to your, you know, to your fans or to the people that are buying the product. And then that's no different than if you're making parts and tools for your local home improvement store, whether you're making food for the grocery store or you're putting on a sporting event. The consumer has to be the number one concern. They're what drive the economy, and you have to give them a product in which they want to consume. And I think that goes for sports as well. I think we see rule changes in the NFL trying to improve the products for the fan. We see changes in golf all the time as far as format and how the venues are changed. I mean, just look at the Ryder Cup, which is also on NBC this weekend. You know, that 20 years ago was another golf tournament. 20 years later, it is a rowdy Europe against the U.S. It has taken on its own sort of just aura about the whole event. And I applaud NASCAR to say, you know what? We are all competing for those entertainment dollars. We love motor racing. NASCAR is the premier motorsports in all the country. So let's give the fans what they want.
Steve Letarte on the line with us here on Chasing Checkers. Steve, you worked for Rick Hendrick for a long time. And I guess if you look at this season as a whole, even though they get three drivers into the playoffs, they only had the one win with Chase Elliott. And there's been a struggle with the Camaro and trying to figure out a new car. But what do you make of the year that Hendrick Motorsports has had, especially Jimmy Johnson, who is on the outside looking in right now?
Well, I think it's a two-sided answer. One is, I think when they made the decision to go very young with William Byron, a little less experience with Alex Bowman, I think they knew that there was a risk that those two cars would not be as successful as perhaps the car numbers have been in the past. But they were okay with that. I think Rick Hendrick is a very smart man. He knows when you move William Byron up that there's going to be a learning curve. So I don't think they went into this with these huge expectations, but I don't think their expectations could have ever been met of what's happened on the 9 and the 48 this year. You know, while Chase Elliott did finally get that win, you know, one win out of that organization, you know, that's a company that I grew up within. 20 years there. It's built on championships, not race wins. And now we have a season where they only have one race win. And I think, you know, one thing I'll say about Mr. Hendrick and the organization there, they don't ever give up. That doesn't mean they like what's going on, and they surely don't like this season. But I know that they're kind of working hard trying to figure out what it is. They got stiff competition. You know, you got Penske, you got Stuart Haas Racing, Joe Gibbs Racing. There are so many smart members at all these other organizations.
How beneficial is it, though, to have two guys, Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt Jr., that are now like you and in broadcasting, but they're still very much around. They're still very much in the sport as Jr., of course, a car owner. Gordon has been around. How beneficial is that to those young drivers like Chase Elliott, Alex Bowman, and William Byron?
Well, I mean, really, I think it comes down to those young drivers reaching out. I really think it's not just Dale Jr. and Jeff Gordon. There's a lot of veterans in the sport that would be more than happy to open their motorhome door and sit down and have a conversation with them. That's part of kind of handing the baton through the different eras of NASCAR. But in the end, it really comes down to an experience behind the wheel and a good car. And right now, I think some of those teams like a little bit of both. But, you know, it's a very cyclical sport, and I'm sure that we're going to try to get back on top.
Talking with Steve Letarte from NBC Sports. And Steve, it's been a very active, silly season. A lot of drivers moving around, and everyone kind of focuses on that. But I'm curious from your perspective as a crew chief, I mean, there has to be chemistry between the driver and the crew chief. We saw it with you and Jeff Gordon. We saw it with you and Dale Earnhardt Jr. During your times together. Just how much does that get overlooked, and how important is that when a driver is looking at a team of, hey, is this a guy that I'm going to get along with sitting on top of my pit box?
Well, I think chemistry is very important because you're never going to have an easy year. In 36 races, there's going to be ups and downs. The roller coaster can have bumps along the way, and you have to know that you have each other's back. And it's easy to peel apart. Well, you know, it's sort of in the NFL team, right? Is the guy throwing the ball or the guy catching the ball? Well, here in NASCAR, is it the guy setting up the car or the guy driving the car? And in the end, it's both. And the teams that agree with that, both scenario, will have more success. I really think that's why you see silly season so early. It's not necessarily at the racetrack, right? When I got paired up with Dale Jr., he spent a lot of time over the winter together, period, not at a racetrack. And that way, when we did get the pressure situation of races, it seemed just much more comfortable.
How much fun was that for you? Because it was kind of a resurgence for him in his career. I was actually at the Daytona 500 in which you guys won and had the huge rain delay. But just to kind of, you know, bring him back, so to speak, back to victory lane when you became his crew chief. How fun was that for you?
Oh, we had a blast. It was great to work with him as a driver, and it's just as great to work with him as a coworker and a broadcaster here at NBC. I think he's done a great job in the booth. I think he's full of color, animation. He understands the sport very well, and we're just excited for Sunday, 2:00 on NBC, to bring this potentially chaotic road course race, first ever at Charlotte, to the fans, the cut race of the first round of the playoffs. There's just so much on the line. I mean, the pressure in my mind is as high as we've ever seen it in sports, and these guys are going to have to put the helmets on and find a way to do it.
One thing that I think is really cool about NBC that you guys do is you're going to be in the booth with Rick Allen, the traditional booth, this week, but Dale Jr. and Jeff Burton will be in the driver's booth. You have done races from the pit box. They've put, you know, Dale and Jeff in the corners at road courses. What kind of went into planning all of that? And with the numbers that you guys have, it's easy to be able to put you guys in different places. It's pretty cool.
Well, the simple fact is NASCAR is a sport, but it is raced at multiple different venues, multiple different ways. And to think that put people in the booth and let them talk about it is the best way to cover every race is silly. It can be improved upon. I applaud Sam Flood, Jeff Behnke, all the powers in NBC to see that and say, all right, what do you guys think? How do you think this would be cool? And just try to bring the fan into the sport, give them better coverage, more inclusive coverage, a different way to look at things. There are so many ways to watch a race. We're just trying to give the fans options.
He's Steve Letarte. He'll be on the call for NBC this Sunday, the Bank of America Roval 400 from the Charlotte Motor Speedway. You were quoted in saying this race we are going to see is such an unknown. It is more terrifying to these drivers than Talladega. That is a bold statement. What are you expecting as we wrap this up? Who wins?
I expect to see everything. I expect to see moments in the race where everybody's afraid of the unknown and they take it calm. You can't stay calm all day because there are four drivers that are currently on the outside. They have to find their way in. You have other drivers like A.J. Allmendinger that doesn't have a ride next year. He's going to try to put his name in the highlight reel, as he should, try to find a job. We have drivers in the playoffs that have already won races. So I think the simple fact is, if I try to tell you what you were going to see, there's no way I would be right. So I'm going to sit back and wait. I can't think of a more exciting day on Sunday. I'm a big sports fan. I'm going to wake up with the Ryder Cup finale over in Paris. I'm going to watch a little racing road course from Charlotte. And I'm going to fall asleep to Sunday Night Football. That's my kind of day.
That sounds like a perfect day. Hey, Steve, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for taking the time to come on today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The great Steve Letarte, NBC Sports, of course, will be a part of their broadcast this weekend at the Charlotte Motor Speedway, the Bank of America Roval 400 that you can see on NBC.
starting at noon Central Time on Sunday here in Nashville. Love his insight. You know, he probably is the smartest hire that NBC has made. You know, Dale Jr. obviously will bring some viewership and knowledge, you know, from having just gotten out of the race car. But Steve Letarte is just so smart with how he delivers things. But I think he does it in a way where he's not too analytical. And so really appreciate him joining. And look, it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. It's going to be unknown. There's going to be some drivers that I think aren't very happy. You heard from Alex Bowman earlier in the show, but we'll see how it goes. When we come back, we set it up. The Roval coming up this weekend from Charlotte. Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, Smashville? This is Ryan Porth here to tell you Preds Insiders will continue this summer on demand as we keep you up to date with all things Preds. Catch the newest edition of the Preds Insiders podcast every Wednesday at thegamenashville.com and throughout the weekend on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5, The Game Online, GameNashville.com. I am Chase McCabe, as always, at Chase on Game on Twitter. You can rate, subscribe, and review on iTunes, Chasing Checkers. Hear us every weekend, and also on GameNashville.com. The Roval, Bank of America Roval 400 from the Charlotte Motor Speedway, coming up this weekend on NBC. Appreciate Alex Bowman. I appreciate Steve Letarte for joining the show. So what do we expect? Well, you heard Steve Letarte. He said it best. He was like, you know, I'm going to enjoy the race just like everybody else. I don't really know what to expect. And you know what? I think that's an honest answer because I have no idea what to expect. They're running a race that they have never run before on a track that, yes, they have run parts of it before, the oval part of it, but they haven't run this road course. You look at the practice on Friday, there's a ton of tore-up race cars. I have a feeling that's what the race is going to be like. But you know what? I'm curious to see the ratings because I bet people are going to watch because there is a curiosity because we've been talking about this race all season long and they haven't even run it yet. Charlotte, the Smith family, NASCAR, they got everything they wanted leading up to this race. A ton of hype, a ton of chatter, and now the product has to deliver. Now, if it's a wreck fest, yeah, probably not going to be great. But if there's some competitive racing, if there are some wrecks, if you get that mixed bag of everything that you look for in a race, then I think everybody will be satisfied with the product that they get on Sunday from Charlotte. It's hard to say, you know, what I was saying earlier, it's hard to say, well, you know, AJ Allmendinger, he's out of a ride now. He's got something to prove. Steve Letarte brought him up. He's good on a road course, so he's going to go win. You don't know that. There's an oval part. He's not good on ovals. He's been good on the road courses, but that's it. Well, Kyle Busch, he's a road racer. Well, he's good on ovals too. Can he put the two of them together? I just think that's the biggest unknown. You don't know how the skill sets of these drivers are going to fit this racetrack. And that's the exciting part. That's the scary part. That's just what we have to wait and see when they hit the track on Sunday and take the green flag. I think that NASCAR is going to use this as kind of a learning curve. We're going to see what happens. You know, would I be shocked if they're like, this was a bad idea, we're not doing this again? No. Would I be shocked if they're like, you know, can't really gauge much on the first year, let's see what happens? No. So there's nothing that would really surprise me about the results of this race. But they're trying something different. I don't know if I necessarily agree of putting it in the playoffs, but you didn't really have much of an option because you're not going to change the Coke 600, and Charlotte didn't want to lose the playoff race, so you had to do something. I guess you could have done it with the Xfinity Series. They're running the normal configuration, but they're trying something different, and I applaud NASCAR for that. That is something that they've brought in a little bit this year, and they're trying to change their way of thinking. I mean, look, this is a new era of NASCAR, and Steve Phelps is taking over the presidency on Monday. He's going to be the new chief. Brian France, we would assume the Brian France era is over as he is taking an indefinite leave of absence. Jim France is the interim chairman. So they have an opportunity to really change
how people perceive them. Because let's just be honest, Brian France has done some good things, but then there were some bad things that happened under his watch. You know, these TV deals, I don't know if they have favored NASCAR, because the ratings continue to drop. You also have an attendance issue at the track. You've changed the race car multiple times. You've changed the rules package multiple times. By the way, the owners have approved the All-Star Race rules package, so you're going to see that a lot next year in the Cup Series. So, you know, there's just kind of a lot of different things that have to happen. And I think that Steve Phelps is going to look at many different things in his tenure as the president. And Bob Pockrass, who we've had on the show from ESPN, he wrote an article about what Phelps needs to address. And one of the things that he put in there was the schedule. Yes, it is time. And Phelps is quoted in saying, there are changes that I believe will happen in the 2020 schedule that will be made from input from a lot of different folks. And one of those important groups will be our fans. What they like, what they don't like. It's about damn time, if I'm being honest. And, you know, as somebody that works and lives in the city of Nashville that has a really cool racetrack that, yes, needs a lot of work, it needs some money dumped into it, but you have a company, an SMI, that wants to do that, I would love to see Nashville on the 2020 or 2021 schedule, because I think it would be exciting. It's different from any of the other tracks that they have on the schedule. Go to some different places. And as much as I love the Atlanta Motor Speedway, people aren't going to the race anymore. So it's time to move on. If they're not showing up, if they don't care about the track, then why the hell are you going there? Go to places where you know people are going to show up. That's what I want to see out of this new era, if this truly is a new era of NASCAR and with Steve Phelps. Revamp the schedule. And, you know, I'm tired of hearing that, well, this is the way we've always done it. If it makes sense to move the Daytona 500 to the last race of the year, then you know what? Move the Daytona 500 to the last race of the year. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I like it where it is personally, but if it's what the majority of the fans want, if it's what the drivers want, if it's what everybody can agree upon, then make the schedule better by any means necessary. I don't mind Homestead as a track. I don't want to end there. It's not that exciting to end there. You know, I think the last race of the year should rotate. It shouldn't be at the same place every year. If you're going to add, if you're going to have this playoff format like you have it, and you're going to have the final four and it come down to one race, then why go to the same place every year? Go to different places. I think there's so many things that you can do with the schedule. And, you know, the track deals are they go through 2020 with what they have now. But, you know, I know there's been reports that NBC has expressed to NASCAR, like, hey, we need to go ahead and shake this thing up now. Midweek races could be a possibility. Doubleheaders. You could cut the season down because it goes too long and they compete against the NFL too much. Big thing for Steve Phelps. I agree with Pockrass on his article. Quickly, the rules package. We know that they're going to run that package that they ran in the All-Star race when we first started the show and was talking about that. That's a great thing to change, to look at, to try something new. They got to find some things that just make the racing even more exciting. Team solvency. He has that on there because Furniture Row is closing its doors. And I think finding a way to cut the costs but not hurt the product. Help the product and cut the cost, and so you have some of these smaller teams that can compete with the bigger teams. That would be best for NASCAR. That way you don't have the same four teams or whatever it is competing for championships and wins and getting the best drivers every year. Let's make it a little bit more like the NFL, where you have parity. I think that's something that NASCAR needs to look at. The leadership stability, which is, you know, going to ultimately be up to the France family and what happens there, that's going to be something that comes to him. NASCAR has had an issue of being open about issues and taking criticism. You know, let's let's step back and look at things and see how this sport can be better and see how it can return to what it used to be in its popularity. So, and then of course the TV contracts that they go through 2024, but I think there's some things you can look at whether it's a digital platform, a NASCAR network, or whatever the case may be. I think the WWE model of having a streaming network could be good for NASCAR, something like that. So Steve Phelps takes over on Monday after the Roval race at Charlotte. A lot to get into next week here on Chasing Checkers. My thanks to Alex Bowman. My thanks to Steve Letarte. My thanks to all of you again. If you miss our show on the air, you can find it online at thegamenashville.com. You can subscribe on iTunes as well. Just search for Chasing Checkers. I am Chase McCabe. Enjoy the racing from Charlotte. Enjoy the Roval. And we will talk to you next week. ESPN 102.5 The Game.